By the gospel, I mean the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said there would be those who'd come unto you preaching another gospel. That's what he warned the Galatians about. Amen. And in warning the Galatians, he warned us. He said, I warn you, there are those who will come and preach another gospel. Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians chapter 1, I believe somewhere right around verse 8 and 9, he said, if anyone comes to you preaching any other gospel other than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's what he said. He said, even if an angel from heaven comes preaching to you another gospel which we haven't preached to you, let him be accursed. Amen? So there's other gospels out there besides the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Just because someone says we're preaching the gospel doesn't mean they're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Well, we're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to start right here this morning in James chapter 5. We're going to talk about righteousness. Amen? And you're going to be believing God to strengthen me and to quicken me in my spirit, in my soul, and in my body so that I can speak to you effectively on His behalf. Amen? I'm glad to be here this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. You're glad to be here, Helen? You're glad I'm here? Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It's good to be here. It's good to see you all. Amen? James chapter 5 and verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth some. Says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. Elias, or Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. That means that Elisha's spirit, that his mind and his body did goofed up things. Just like your mind does goofed up things. Just like your body does goofy things that you don't want it to do. Elijah had the same problems that we had. He's a man, he was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He told wicked King Ahab, because you continue to lead Israel into sexual sin, I'm going to pray and it's not going to rain again on your country until I say otherwise. And it stopped raining for 3.5 years. He prayed again and the heaven gave rain and the earth brought forth her fruit. So again, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. James is telling us in order to be effective in prayer, we must first become righteous people. And then in the very next verse, he uses Elias or Elijah as an example of a righteous man who knew how to get his prayers answered. Amen? Well, if Elijah's used by James, the half-brother of Jesus, as an example of a righteous man who knew how to get his prayers answered, we should look at his life a little bit. Amen? Learn what we can about what righteousness is and how it works from the life of Elijah. Elijah had his great moments. Elijah was a great prophet of God. He wasn't a writing prophet. He wasn't even much of a speaking prophet. He was a performing prophet. There's different types of prophets. Amen? I think Elijah only wrote one verse of Scripture in the entire Bible. He wasn't a writing prophet like the prophet Ezekiel and Jeremiah and Isaiah. They were writing prophets, not performing prophets, so to speak. Elijah was a performing prophet. And he knew how to get his prayers answered. Amen? Amen? He performed tremendous miracles in Scripture. As we just read, he prayed and kept the rain from falling. He told King Ahab, everybody know who King Ahab was? 1 Kings chapter 16 says that King Ahab provoked God to anger more than all the kings before him. He's a jerk. He was defiant of God. He was married to Jezebel. We all know about Jezebel. Still use her name today. When a woman has a rebellious spirit, she's said to have a Jezebel spirit. His wife was a rebel. He is a rebel. Amen? He led Israel into sin. And Elijah prayed. And he said, no more rain till I say otherwise. And it didn't rain for 3.5 years. Amen? Another, and you find that if you want to read that in 1 Kings chapter 17. That's where Elijah originally prayed that the rain would stop coming from heaven. And it did. Amen? He also prayed fire down from heaven in 1 Kings chapter 18. He challenged the prophets of Baal. Over 450 of them. He said, here's what we're going to do. We're going to have a showdown today, and we're going to see whose God's really God. You build an altar, I'll build an altar. You butcher an oxen, I'll butcher an oxen. You put your oxen on your altar, I'll put my oxen on my altar. I'll give you opportunity to pray first, and you pray fire to come down and consume your offering. And then I'm going to pray. And whoever's God answers by fire, that's the God we all need to be serving. They spent the whole day, the prophets of Baal, cutting themselves, jumping up and down on that altar, pig piling, acting like a bunch of idiots, screaming. And Elijah just kept telling them all through the day, keep screaming. Maybe he doesn't hear you. This is what he said to them. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe your God's in the bathroom. That's what he told them. And they just cut themselves and try to get the God Baal to pour fire from heaven and consume that offering. He let them go all day long, and then finally he said, you had enough? Now it's my turn. I want 4 barrels of water, please, and I want it dumped on my offering. They dug a trench and dumped 4 barrels of water, precious water in the midst of a drought that he had prayed down previously. Poured it all over his offering, and then prayed, and he said, God in heaven, show him! Show these people who's serving God and who's not. And fire came from heaven. Consumed the oxen, consumed the water, consumed the sand, consumed the stones the altar was built of. Just all disappeared at the prayer of Elijah. That's a righteous man, James said, who knew how to get his prayers answered. And then he turned and he said, in the next chapter, gather up all these false prophets of Baal. All 450 of them. Take them down the river. I'm going to slay them single-handedly. And he did. Hallelujah. Chopped them to bits. Single-handedly. 450 prophets of Baal. Amen? And then he turned around and he said to King Ahab, it's time for rain. In the next chapter. Get in your horse, get on your horse, and get yourself across the plains of Jezreel, and get yourself to the mountaintop, because it's going to be a gully washer. So Ahab hopped in his chariot, took off across the plains of Jezreel, and you know what the Bible says Elijah did? He pulled up his skirts and took off running, and outran Ahab's horses and chariot for 30 miles across the plains of Jezreel. On foot! On foot! Woo! What a righteous man of God. Amen? Hallelujah. He's a rain-stopping, fire-bombing, prophet-slaying, chariot-outrunning prophet of God. Hallelujah. People look at Elijah and say, what a great man of God. No wonder he knew how to get his prayers answered. He's such a powerful man of God. I would beg to differ. Because in the next chapter, when Jezebel found out that he slew single-handedly all 450 of her prophets, she picked up a frying pan and went after him, and he headed for the mountains. What happened to Elijah? Well, he's a man subject to like passions, James said, just like you and just like me. Go to Psalm 32. He made mistakes just like you and just like me. Amen? James said he was subject to like passions just like you and just like me. Amen? Big baby Elijah took off from the woman with the frying pan. Ran up to the mountain, and you know what he prayed? He said, God, let me die! Let me die! He's afraid of a little woman with a rolling pin more than he was 450 prophets of Baal. Hallelujah. Let me die. Let me die. I'm not going to live anymore, God. He said, there's no one serving you but me anyway. I'm not going to live anymore. Never tell God what you're not going to do. Because Elijah is alive today still, 3,500 years later. He never died. He told God, that's it. I've had enough of life. I'm giving it up. And God says, don't tell me what to do. Tell me what you will and will not do. I told God I'll never live in Oklahoma City, and I spent 5 years there. Amen? That's why I never say I'll never work at McDonald's with one of them little hats on. Because that's the first place I'll get sent. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, I'm not going to live anymore. And he's still alive today, 3,500 years later in heaven. Amen? Listen, how could James call Elijah righteous knowing what he knew about Elijah? The way that he ran from that woman, the way he rebelled against God, ran to the mountaintop. God told him, go back down the valley. He wouldn't go. He kept running. How could James call Elijah a righteous man knowing what he knew about Elijah? Because James believed Psalm 32. Are you there? Blessed is he, in verse 1, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That word covered, we saw 2 weeks ago Wednesday, is actually overwhelmed. You know, when your blood is when your sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, they're overwhelmed by the blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen? There's no sin strong enough to overpower the blood of Jesus. Amen? Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So under the old covenant, the blood of innocent animals was shed to cover the sins of God's people. And then God wouldn't impute iniquity unto them. He would impute righteousness to them. He would allow an innocent animal to die in that place. Every time Elijah blew it, God allowed an innocent animal to die for him to cover his sins. And then he would not have to impute his iniquity to him. He could impute or put on his account by credit righteousness. That's why James could say that Elijah was a righteous man, knowing what he did about all the mistakes Elijah made in life. He had confidence in the blood of goats and bulls, animals, turtle doves and pigeons under the Old Testament system of atonement. Amen? And when the blood of an innocent animal was shed for Elijah, God would just look at Elijah and say, okay, your iniquity is overwhelmed, washed away, forgiven, and you can become righteousness again. You can become righteous again. That's how James believed, why he believed that Elijah was righteous, knowing the mistakes that Elijah has made. And listen, this is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Every time Elijah made a mess, God allowed an animal's blood to be shed for him, an innocent animal, to pay for it in place of Elijah. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. And that's why I'm going to continue to maintain the stand that I'm taking concerning this move of universalism in the world transformation movement that's trying to overwhelm Cape Cod, coming here and preaching and teaching that man is not born in sin. Therefore, God did not need to send a bloody Redeemer. Therefore, Jesus' blood is worthless, useless, defunct, void, unnecessary. We don't receive that. We don't receive that doctrine. Amen? Hallelujah. It's through the blood of Jesus. Well, what do these people think the blood of bulls and goats in the Old Testament were pointing to in the future? They were shadows, Paul said, and Moses said, of things to come. Of what to come? The blood of Jesus, the blood of goats and bulls in the Old Testament simply covered human sin. The blood of Jesus in the New Testament washes it away. In the Old Testament, the blood of animals atoned for the sins of man, or covered it. We don't live under atonement in the New Testament. The blood of Jesus redeems us from our sin, washes our sins away. You see, there's a difference between atonement and redemption. In the Old Covenant, their sins were covered. In the New, our sins are washed away. They don't exist any longer. Look right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Jump down to verse 21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us. He didn't actually become sin. He became a sin offering. He stayed holy, but he became a sin offering for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Say in him. That's the key. We have been made the righteousness of God in him because of the fact that he shed his blood to wash away our sins. Amen? In Christ, we've become new creations. In Christ, we've been made the righteousness of God. Amen? You and I am or are that righteous person that James talked about. In Christ, we are the righteous person that James said we must become in order to be effective in prayer, in order to have our prayers effectively answered. We are already in Christ if we're born again. Righteousness is not something you do. It's something you what? Something we receive. It's something we believe. That word righteousness is diakaios in the Greek. He made him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God, in him. The righteousness of God, in him. That word righteousness, diakaios, it means equity, it means innocence, and it means holiness. And even if you put this in your notes before, you should put it in there again. Amen? Equity. Not in how much profit you have in a piece of property over and above which you've paid for it. That's not what equity means here. That word equity there, diakaios, means to have the same standing with God as Jesus. When the Bible says we've been made the righteousness of God in him, it says we've been given the same standing with God as Jesus has. Equity, innocence, and holiness. We are as innocent before God because of Jesus' blood as Jesus is. You need to get a hold of this if you haven't gotten a hold of it yet. Amen? It's time for the worthlessness consciousness to go. It's time for legalistic thinking to go. It's time for condemnation to go. We have the same standing with God as Jesus. We share the same innocence before God as Jesus. We share the same holiness before God as Jesus. E.W. Kenyon, the great Bible author, scholar, attorney from Washington State, he's in heaven now. A lot of folks don't like him, because he brought us revelation of righteousness that we had never seen before God gave it to him. They call him a cult. Amen? Well, he's not a cult leader. He's a man who believed with his whole heart in the blood of Jesus and in the work of redemption and in the work of righteousness. And he defined righteousness as this: the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. And if that ain't worth writing down, I don't know what is. Amen? The ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Amen? Anyone, because of Jesus, can come boldly, Paul said, and confidently before the throne of grace to find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. Hebrews 4:16. And that's why Dr. Kenyon referred to righteousness as the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Righteousness, simply put, it just means to have right standing with God. To have right standing with God. See, you have it if you're born again. You cannot become more righteous than you are right now if you're born again If you died and went to heaven, you cannot become more righteous. If you died and went to heaven. Did we just read the Bible says, He made Him who knew no sin to be made sin on our behalf that we might be made the righteousness of God? The righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness of God in Him. The righteousness of God can't be improved upon. It's God's righteousness. God can't be improved upon. God doesn't have to grow up. God doesn't have to mature. God doesn't have to improve. God doesn't have to change. God doesn't have to get better. God doesn't have to increase in righteousness. God is God, and He's perfect, and His righteousness is absolutely perfect. And we are the righteousness of God in Christ. We can't grow in righteousness. We're as perfect before God as we're ever going to be. I said to you before, if you died and went to heaven right now, you would get there and discover you are no more righteous in heaven than you are sitting right now in that grubby little chair you're sitting in. You couldn't be more righteous. Righteous. You can't grow in righteousness. You can grow in faith, and we're called to do that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. The more we hear the word of faith, the more we grow in faith. We can grow in love, and we better. Because faith works by love. Amen? We're going to spend the rest of our lives on planet Earth growing in love. Growing up in love. Amen? Becoming more like Jesus. Can't do that with righteousness. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You cannot possibly have better standing with God if you died and went to heaven. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. You're as innocent before God as you're ever going to be. You're as holy before God as you're ever going to be. Act like it or not. Amen? And we're not encouraging you to not act like it. And we're encouraging you to repent when you don't. But when you do repent, the Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He will forgive us our sins, and He will cleanse us of all unrighteousness, and you become righteous all over again. Actually, you never stop being righteous. He just cleanses you of all unrighteousness. Amen. Listen, James said, in order to be effective in prayer, you must first become righteous. Well, you have been. You've become righteous. You can be effective in prayer. Amen. This is one of the biggest hindrances to unanswered prayer, lack of understanding righteousness. That's already it. Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you're not going to go far in life. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you aren't going to make many advances in this life. You know what he was saying? Unless you get born again and become the righteousness of God, and quit acting religious like the Pharisees, you're not going to make much headway in life. Well, you are born again. And your righteousness is the righteousness of God. That's the only type of righteousness that exceeds the self-righteousness of the Pharisees. Amen? You are innocent before God. You couldn't be more innocent. You are holy before God. You couldn't possibly be more holy. Now you can pull yourself in line and act more in line with it. But you cannot become more righteous than you already are right now. Go to Romans chapter 10 real quick if you would. You became the righteousness of God the moment you were born again. Amen? That's how you become righteous. You simply believe the blood got the job done. Amen? Now God is just and fair. Our Father, the God of the universe, He's a just and He's a fair God. And if He said that someone else can die in your place so that you can take their place with His righteousness, then that's just and fair. Did you hear that? I said God is a just and a fair God. And if He said that someone, namely His Son, can die in our place that we might become the righteousness of God in Him, well then that's just and fair. Some folks don't think that's right. Doesn't matter what some folks think. If God says it's right, it's right. He's a just and He's a fair God. If He said this is what it takes to have right standing with Him, this is what it takes. No more, no less. Amen? Hallelujah. Look at Romans chapter 10. You get anything out of this? The moment you were born again, it's the exact same moment. You became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Verse 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth. Do you see that? Unto righteousness. With the heart man simply believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The moment you were born again is the exact moment you became the righteousness of God. The moment you said, Jesus, you're my choice, you became the righteousness of God in Him, and not a demon in hell could stop it. That's when you became innocent before God. That's when you maintained a position of holiness and innocence and right standing before God. Go backwards, if you would, to Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. James said, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman availeth much. We're looking at what righteousness is. How do we achieve it? And what does it do? Amen? Are you there in Romans 5? Excuse me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Excuse me while I pause for refreshment. Are you there in Romans 5? Are you getting anything out of this morning? Hallelujah. For if by one man's offense, in verse 17, death reigned by one. Who is that one man through whom death reigned? Adam. If by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive, please say receive, which receive abundance of grace and the gift, say gift, of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Paul, writing by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, through one man's offense, death reigned, or unrighteousness reigned, in the lives of all. How much more shall they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life by accepting one man, Jesus? That's why I said, God is a just and a fair God. God saw that through the sin of one, the many were affected. So He determined in His heart and in His economy, He said, by the same token, in the same way that I lost them all through the sin of one, I'll recover them all through the sacrifice of one. Hallelujah. Now if God says that's just and fair, that Jesus gets to pay the price, and we don't have to pay any price at all, that's just and fair. Because He's a just and a fair God. He's the God of the universe. He's our Father. If He says that's what it takes, that's what it takes. Amen? Amen? Amen. We have been made the righteousness of God in Him. But you have to receive it as a conscious act of your own free will. You have to make a decision as a conscious act of your own free will. Every time you sin and you blow it, you need to make the conscious decision as an act of your own free will to receive forgiveness in the blood and keep walking out that righteousness, that position of right standing that Jesus achieved for you at Calvary. Jesus' work at Calvary far outweighs Satan's work in the garden. Amen? You couldn't have better standing with God if you died and went to heaven right now. And I'm not getting a load up to go today, so I'm not encouraging you to do that. I'm just telling you, you cannot possibly grow in righteousness. You can. It's the righteousness of God. And God is perfect, so His righteousness is perfect. Your righteousness is perfect. Your right standing with God is perfect. Couldn't be better! I don't care who you locked horns with this morning. Amen? Your right standing with God couldn't be better. Get under the blood if you made a mistake. Amen? And keep walking in righteousness. God wants to answer your prayers. Amen? Look, let's go over here to Romans chapter 3. Go backwards. We'll just look at some scriptures here. Excuse me. Oh, my Lord. The gift of righteousness. The gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. Folks came in here today toting birthday gifts for Barbara because it's her birthday tomorrow. I didn't hear her ask one of you, what do I owe you? And if she did, you would think, how dare she? You gave her gifts. If she had to pay you for them, they wouldn't be gifts. They'd be wages. Something she earned. Something she deserved. She paid for it. But no, you gave her gifts. You showed her unmerited favor and grace. You gave her gifts. And righteousness is a gift. There's nothing you can do to earn it. Nothing you can do to earn it. As a matter of fact, we're going to see in a few moments here, in Romans chapter 4, you're in Romans chapter 3. If you set out to try to earn righteousness, you lose it. It's called backsliding. There's nothing you can do to earn righteousness. It's a gift. As money, as receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness shall reign and rule in life through Christ Jesus. There's no hope of reigning, no hope of ruling in this life if you don't receive that gift. If you receive the voice of condemnation in place of righteousness, you won't reign. You won't be effective in prayer. If you receive a worthlessness consciousness in place of a righteousness consciousness, Paul said you won't reign in life. God's not mad at you today. No matter who you are, where you've been, or what you've done, God's not upset with any of us today for any reason. He wants to answer our prayers. He wants us to be effective in prayer. But it's going to take receiving the gift of righteousness. It's a gift. Say it's a gift. It's not something you do. It's something you receive. Say righteousness is not something I do. It's something I receive. And I receive it. Equity, innocence, and holiness, the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority. Listen, the sin problem's been resolved in the blood. There's no more sin problem. God wants to answer your prayer. That's why the Bible says He will withhold nothing from those who walk uprightly before Him. How do you walk uprightly before Him? Receive the gift of righteousness, whether you feel like it or not. Amen? You do it by faith. Just take it by faith. I know you feel like an ugly thing half the time, but that doesn't mean you are. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. If God says it's good enough for Him, why wouldn't it be good enough for you? No matter how you feel about yourself. God knows more about your former wickedness than you do. And He doesn't feel that way about you. Amen? When He looks at you, all He sees is blood. Capital B, capital L, capital O, capital D. Blood! That's all He sees is the blood of Jesus. Righteous, innocent, holy men and women of God. A couple of weeks ago, we saw from the scripture there are no more holy places. It's holy people. Holy places were symbolic of something that was to come in the future. Holy people, we've come. We're here. We've arrived. We're it. There are no more holy places in God's economy. I love Israel, but it ain't holy. I'm holy. You're holy. If you're born again. No more holy places. From now on, the name of the game is holy people in Christ. Where did I ask you to go in your Bible? And where did you go? And where did I go? Romans 3. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Look right here. Excuse my cough. Amen. By His stripes, I am healed. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there in Romans 3? Look at verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God, please say without the law.
Without the law.
Who are without acts? Nothing you can do. Righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed or previously spoken of by the law and the prophets. They told us it was coming. It's here. Now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Without the law. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God which is by faith. You see that? Of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. Oh, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Right standing with God, equity, innocence, holiness, the ability to stand in the presence of God without a sense of guilt or inferiority was imparted to you the very second you were born again. Receive it, or you'll never reign in life. It's a gift, 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 it's a gift. It's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift. It's a gift, 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 it's a gift. It's a gift, 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 it's a gift. It's a gift, 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 it's a gift. It's a gift, 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 it's a gift. It's a gift!
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You ought to be up dancing. Amen. You couldn't have more right standing with God if you died and went to hell right now. If Jesus came and shed His blood again and poured it all over you personally, it's not going to change a thing. It's not going to make you any more righteous. You already are. It's a gift. 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 And all you have to do is receive it. Amen. The righteousness of God without the law. Amen. It's a gift because of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No wonder Elijah could blow it so bad and still do the things that he did. He had confidence in the blood of animals. Do you have as much confidence in the blood of Jesus as Elijah had in the blood of animals?
Amen.
Well, do you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, then, say so. Say, I do.
I do.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You're more righteous with God than Elijah was. Elijah was a servant, you're a child. Elijah didn't get his sins to go under the blood of God's Son. You did. His sins were covered by the blood of an animal. Yours have been washed away by God's very own blood. If He says that's good enough to get the job done and that's all it takes, then that's good enough to get the job done and that's all it takes. Well, I'm happy about it, as you can tell. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't live in that narrow, religious, legalistic, sin-conscious place of condemnation when I blow it. I just go right to the Father, I get my sin under the blood, and I just start walking in that gift again. I'm telling you, don't I? We refuse to live in condemnation at our house. We refuse to let Him die in vain. This is just the way it is. Amen? If God, who is just and fair, says that this is just and fair in His economy, then just and fair it is. And He's not going to hear any but God from me. Amen? I go and I just dive headfirst into the blood every time I blow it. And I come up covered. Amen? Hallelujah. And I don't receive condemnation. We don't receive legalistic thinking. We don't receive religious thinking. Amen? You don't have to either. Amen? Hallelujah. Get off yourself when you blow it. I said, get off yourself when you blow it. Amen? And quit laying into others when they blow it. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in... No condemnation! None! For those who are in Christ Jesus. For those who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. You're going to make fleshly mistakes. Just repent. Keep walking after the Spirit. There's no condemnation. It couldn't be better between you and God. Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better. Couldn't be better between you and God. Amen. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Some folks won't exercise their authority over Satan and demons, over disease and poverty and rebellious family members because they feel so unworthy before God. Well, you're not unworthy. Amen. Righteousness isn't something you do. It's something you believe. Something you receive because of what Jesus did, not something you receive because of what you do. Amen? Hallelujah. Where did I ask you to go? I want to just show you something here, and we'll close in a moment here. Amen? Look at right here. This is good in Hebrews chapter 4. You need to get a hold of this. Amen? Hallelujah. You're too quiet for me. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. This is good. You know, Job said that God does great things past finding out and wonders without number. I said, Job said God does great things past finding out, or they pass human understanding. Amen. In wonders without number. This is one of his wonders without number, that he made us the righteousness of God in his Son, Jesus Christ. That is a wonder to behold. That is a wonder to behold. No more condemnation. No more unanswered prayer. Lack of understanding. I ask you to go to Hebrews chapter 4 and you're over there, right? Lack of understanding righteousness, probably next to unforgiveness, is the greatest hindrance to unanswered prayer. The greatest hindrance to answered prayer. Lack of understanding righteousness. What it is and how it comes. Amen? But you don't have that problem. Amen? Do you? Because you understand who you are in Christ. In and of ourselves, we're worthless, wretched sinners. Okay? That's settled. Amen? So we've settled that. Okay? We've settled. We've determined who we are outside of Christ. But we're not outside of Christ anymore. We're in Christ. And the Bible says in Him we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? I want you to read something here with me right here. Hebrews chapter 4. We'll close with this. Amen. Listen, Satan can never condemn you again if you receive this gift. He can never condemn you again. Amen. Don't refuse to take advantage of God's gift of righteousness just because you don't understand how God can be so good. Amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 4. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. We need to rest in verse 1, righteousness. Hebrews 4, 1. I thought I said 1. I'll read it to you again. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. The only thing we need to fear is not resting in righteousness. Because when we don't rest in righteousness, that's when we get into trouble, unanswered prayer and all kinds of other problems. This whole chapter is talking about resting in God. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, Israel. But the word preached didn't profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They heard the gospel preached, but they didn't believe it. You're hearing the gospel of righteousness being preached here today. Do you believe it? Mix your faith with it. Amen. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said. I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spoke in a certain place on the seventh day on this wise. This is what I want you to see. And God did rest the seventh day from all of his works. God rested the seventh day from all of his works. God rested the seventh day from all of his works. Why? Because he was exhausted? He doesn't get tired. The Bible says, he who watches over Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. He didn't rest on the seventh day because he's burned out from creation. He rested on the seventh day, not because he's pooped out, but because the work was done. The work was done. This is what Paul's trying to show us here. God rested not because he was pooped. He rested because he was finished. And we need to rest in righteousness because the work is finished. We are to rest in righteousness because the work has been completed. Like God rested on the seventh day because the work was completed, we need to rest in righteousness because the work's been done. It's been done. You can't grow in righteousness. You're it now, baby. You're as righteous as you're ever going to be. If that isn't a good report, I don't know what is. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who walk according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Amen. Just receive it this morning. Amen. Fellowship, faith with God, before God, fellowship with God, dominion over Satan and demon powers, it's yours. Amen. This is the most misunderstood subject. You have permission to close your Bibles this morning. Amen. If you would like. Hallelujah. This is the most misunderstood subject in all of Scripture, and it's so simple to understand, even a child can do it. Amen? This hasn't been preached the way it should be preached. Amen? The God of wrath has been preached. If God was wrath, He wouldn't have sent Jesus. If God was wrath, He wouldn't have made us His righteousness in Christ. Amen? God is not the God of wrath. God is the God of love. Let's stand up. Father, we thank You that You said in Your Word, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him might not perish, but might have everlasting life. Father, we make a decision as a conscious act of our own free wills today to receive the gift of righteousness, Father. Father, You said in Your Word in Hebrews 4:5, if we attempt to work for righteousness, we just lose it. Help us, God, to rest in righteousness the way You rested when Your work was finished, Father. Help us to rest in righteousness because the work of redemption is complete. The work of righteousness is complete in Christ. We receive it, Lord. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. And we receive the free gift of righteousness and we walk out of here today, Father, with greater determination to reign and to rule in life through Christ Jesus. And to take a stand, Father, for the blood. The blood. The blood. The blood, Father. Thank You for the blood, Father. We thank You for the precious blood, Father. We thank You, Lord, for the fount that was opened that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Oh God, we thank You that we can come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace now and find mercy and grace to help in the time of need, Father, not based on what we've done, but based on what Jesus has done. Not based on what we can do, but based on what Jesus has already done. Father, we receive it. We receive abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness in Jesus' strong name. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.